Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District, Steve Pierce. Steve, fall is in the air.
It is. Football is on TV and fall is in the air. The World Series should be coming up soon. But you know, in that congressional baseball game, usually played in July, it was played this last week. Republicans won for the first time in 6 years, I think it is. Won 13-12. Now, the interesting fact about it, not only that the Republicans won the game, but that Greg Stube, a freshman from Florida, the Republican, took the first pitch and hit it out of the park. The last time that was done by Ron Paul, he was a congressman for Texas, not Rand Paul. It was his father 40 years ago who hit the last home run in a congressional baseball game. But that was at a minor league stadium and the fences were somewhat closer. And so the blast last week really captured the attention. Joe Biden was there and had to suffer one more humiliating defeat.
Yeah, his poll numbers are not looking good. And from the polls I'm seeing, and apparently some Democrats agree, $3.5 trillion is just too much to spend.
Well, you've had a big struggle going on between the moderate Democrats and the progressives. Keep in mind that the blue dog, the conservative Democrats, are no longer there. They've all been ousted by their own party, or when they were criticized so heavily by the progressives, then Republicans took the seats away from them. So there are no conservative Democrats left, but the moderates have been trying to hold the ground, and it looks like they're winning the game. So major programs are now being clipped out of that bill in order to get people to come closer to voting for it. The amnesty for 8 million illegal aliens in the country, gone. It's dead. The control of prices in the pharmaceutical industry, gone. That was going to kill all innovations and kill the research and development that makes this nation's healthcare the envy of the world. Another program that was saved was Medicare. You remember the progressives were trying to add vision, dental, and hearing to the Medicare plans and lower the age to 60. The plan is already bankrupt, but it is still functioning. That would have killed it dead. And so the negotiations have saved Medicare by taking those provisions out of the bill. The voting rights that the Democrats hope to get in to help people to be able to cheat, Republicans have fought back saying, we want to make it easier to vote, but harder to cheat. And so that bill now is dead. There were two new entitlements that were included in that $3.5 trillion bill, free community college to all, and then also a grand new entitlement with a vastly expanded affordable housing. Both those programs are dead. The bill looks like it's going to move from $3.5 trillion to $1.5 trillion. That's still a lot of money. It's still going to be very inflationary, but it is so much better than it was before. So that's how the sausage is made in Capitol Hill, and we'll see if they can pass that bill in the coming days. But here's we speak and recording this at the end of the week. They still haven't got the votes to pass the bill, and that's the key for any governing body. You got to have enough votes of your own party to pass it.
Understand our vice president has caused a little stir with Israel. Tell us about that.
Well, she was at a throwaway event. She was at a university class, George Mason University. She was there in some program, and they were celebrating the National Voter Registration Day. So she was preening on about the importance of protesting in the U.S. and how that freedom of speech and the power of the people and all of that. As she finished, then one of the students raised her hand. She identified herself as Yemeni and also Iranian. And definitely she identified herself as not American. And she was being very critical that Israel had been funded. In the comments, she said, you know that they're guilty of relocation and genocide. And Kamala Harris did not take issue with that. The Israeli government and the Israeli supporters around the country began to pummel her the next day. Her staff is in damage control. But the curious thing is that after the comments were made, the vice president went on to say, well, I'm glad you made those comments and that you had the courage to stand up and speak out. And so one example after another that Vice President Harris doesn't even have a clue what she's talking about most of the time.
I don't know if we ever had a greater friend to Israel than Donald Trump. And of course, obviously, things have changed.
Things have changed a lot, and the Palestinians are in much better position because of the Biden administration, but also the terrorists worldwide are in much better position. You know that Biden left them $85 billion worth of the latest armaments, the latest helicopters, 50 caliber machine guns, millions of rounds of ammunition, pallets load of cash. And so the Taliban and ISIS are in much better position than they've been in decades. And so you just think that the world is going to be much less safe because the way that Biden is cooperating, basically, with the Taliban and with ISIS.
I have a theory about that, Steve. There are a lot of progressives that feel that it's not fair that the United States of America has the most powerful military in the world. And by doing what they did, leaving those things you mentioned in Afghanistan, now to where the Taliban has it, our adversaries have it, Russia, China can get a hold of our technology, that will somehow even out the world so that we are not the most powerful military and most technologically advanced in the world. You can't help but wonder if that's not why they did it.
These are points of view that I've heard expressed on Capitol Hill, that it's just unfair that we have so much advantage, so many jobs. That's one reason they've tried to shut down industries that they think are dirty. The timber industry, 85% of those jobs nationwide are gone. Even more of our jobs. We used to have 23,000 jobs in the timber industry in New Mexico. Basically, they're all gone. They didn't go to third world countries, though. They went to Canada. And so the progressives always think that they can just turn off the tap here and it's going to improve things over there where they want it to be improved. They have no understanding of the way that competition works, no understanding of the way that the market works. And so that's the reason that they're willing to give up our jobs for this pie in the sky idea that they're going to send those jobs to third world countries that need them. They're trying to shut down our agriculture industry in the same way. They're trying to shut down oil and gas in the same way. They're trying to shut down the coal industry in the same way and send those dirty jobs over there. We'll just keep the nice banking jobs and the nice software programming jobs. No understanding of the working class people, no understanding of what it takes to raise a family. It's just these ideas that really are crippling our country, and they're coming straight out of the White House at the hands of the progressive staff that surrounds Joe Biden.
Well, you know what they call a country that has no industry, third world.
And that's where we're headed here in New Mexico. When the governor shuts down our oil and gas industry, they are right now preening up in Santa Fe about how big the budget increase is. That's all due to the increasing price of oil and gas worldwide. And we'll talk in the section 3 of this program about the effects that the world is seeing on that. But yes, you're exactly right.
The Navajo Nation is opposing the $3.5 trillion bill we were talking about because they don't want to lose their jobs. Isn't it interesting? I see the Republican Party of New Mexico has sided with the Navajo Nation on this.
Yes, the Navajo Nation understands that Senator Heinrich has placed a provision in that $3.5 trillion spending bill, which would shut down drilling outside of Chaco Canyon. It's already not allowed inside the preserved area, not inside the National Historic Park that surrounds the Chaco Canyon, but Heinrich would limit drilling outside of it. It's going to cost too many Navajos their jobs, and so now they're opposed to that provision in the $3.5 trillion plan. All in all, the Democrats are overreaching in dramatic fashion.
Coming up in the next segment, I will be talking with Anita Statman. She is the Republican Party of New Mexico's Congressional District 3 Vice Chair, and she'll be talking about critical race theory in New Mexico schools and what you can do about it on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico.
Derek, as we mentioned in segment one, and this segment, we've got a special guest, Aninda Statman. She's the RPNM vice chair for Congressional District Number 3, is doing a great job, and we're glad to have her on the program today.
Aninda, how are you?
I'm fine today. How are you?
Doing great, and I appreciate you coming on and telling us about this whole issue of critical race theory in our schools, this new proposed social studies curriculum. Tell us what's going on.
The Public Education Department of New Mexico decided that it needed to amend its existing social studies standards to include ideas of other races and other types of people and how they are disenfranchised in the current system that we call capitalism and America. There's trouble yet subtle inclusion of various words and phrases throughout this rulemaking, such as inequity, oppression, unequal power, racism, and injustice, that make it obvious to anyone that the drafters of these proposed standards see America as very flawed. They're telling all these students that they are victims, and we certainly don't think that's the right thing we should be teaching our children at such a young age. Of course, it's recognized that, you know, as people grow up, it's the natural process of growing up is to form opinions from different people you meet and you work with. But those opinions should be formed based on a grounding that we all share. And if these students are taught against these standards at such an early age, from kindergarten, really, up to 12th grade, that they're going to have a very different perception of our country than the rest of us do. And it's based on this, you know, very old idea of critical race theory called critical theory back in the Frankfurt School, where it first formed, where they were developing cultural Marxist norms. And so it has a very specific origination point in cultural Marxism.
I see from the left where they try and divide us, where they say you're a this American or you're a that American. And I've been saying this for a while now, as Republicans, you're just an American. You know, you have people of, say, Spanish descent. Their ancestors came here from Spain, but they've been here sometimes, in some cases, since the 1600s or 1700s and served our country in the military. So even if they went on a vacation to visit Spain, they would be American. So I think it's a way of dividing us, Aninda. I believe we're all Americans. We need to stop this. You make people feel like they're a victim while they're still in school.
In addition to their, I guess, regular or past anchor standards, you know, they've had civics, economics, geography for some time, but they're adding two standards. One's called ethnic, cultural, and identity standards, and the other one's called inquiry. And under the ethnic, cultural, and identity studies, they say just what you're talking about. There's a requirement that students assess how policies and economic forces offer either privilege or systemic inequity in assessing social, political, and economic opportunity. So in the standard, they only offer two choices. You get to pick that our past social and economic forces offer either privilege or systemic inequity. And so the student has to either write about it or talk about it or show an understanding of it. But those are the only two choices, and that's not America.
No.
America's built on capitalism that works for so many people. I mean, look at the governor. The governor of New Mexico has been a Hispanic for a long time, throughout history, not just right now with MLG in there.
Right.
And the federal government recognizes the Pueblo governors as governors of their own countries. They have a federal-to-federal relationship with the U.S. government. I don't see that as disenfranchising them.
Just breaks my heart to see kids being indoctrinated this way as... Schools shouldn't be the place for political rhetoric, whether it's on the left or the right. Just teach what happened.
I had a similar conversation with someone recently about, you know, this idea that you have to create an action plan for a more equitable America. Well, I think America's pretty equitable. I certainly didn't have time as a woman entering the field of emergency management and then homeland security. I suffered many inequities along my path in my career. And it's not just people of these other identities or races that they talk about that where people find inequities. That's what makes you a stronger person is to face and persevere through them. And every race suffers some inequities. It's not just these that are being identified here.
I have too, and because of affirmative action issues that the government set up, I don't blame other people for this. It's our own government that said, we want people who look like this to have this job, not you, instead of going for the most qualified person, who may have been that person, but we'll never know because I didn't get the opportunity. So I know what you're saying. We've all had roadblocks, but we've got to quit dividing American citizens into categories. And that seems like more what this is about, and making you feel like you're never going to succeed because you're starting out as a victim.
They're polarizing us into even smaller and smaller categories. I want to say I don't understand the purpose, but I do know where critical theory comes from. So I'm afraid I see that purpose as the purpose of the Progressive Party, to make us all be so dependent on the government and not be able to exercise our own opinions and freedoms. And this curriculum seems like it's going to set these students up to follow a path of just trusting and depending on the government for programs and survival, rather than knowing that you can go out there in the world, you can get a job, you can work hard, you can make money, you can travel around the United States. It's such a beautiful country. There's just so many opportunities here. I'm, as you, frustrated with this idea that folks are victims and the rest of us are oppressors. You know, those are the choices.
In New Mexico, it's especially odd since we're what the governor calls a minority-majority state. So it just doesn't make sense.
Yes. You know, the one little thing I'd like to leave with is that there's a 45-day comment period here. Mm-hmm. And the rule came out on the 30th, or perhaps the 28th. I'm sorry, I'd have to check again. We can't let this go without fighting back. We can't not speak up as Democrats, independents, Republicans, people who know what America offers and who don't want their children to be taught this biased agenda. We have 45 days to comment. Please contact your school board or the state PED. Send in your comments by November 12th. You can do it as a group or as an individual, but we have to challenge this. And otherwise, unchallenged CRT is coming to a school near you in 2022.
Well, we appreciate you letting us know about that and what's going on, and hopefully people will stand up and let their voice be heard.
Yes. Thank you.
Steve Pierce and I will be back in the next segment to talk about how green energy is working in other parts of the world, or not, and more on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I am talking with the chairman of our Republican Party, Steve Pierce. And Steve, we have an election coming up in Virginia. It's very close. Is this a sign of things to come next year? What are you seeing on the polls right now?
Virginia is reflective of what we're seeing in Joe Biden's polls, that he is plummeting. By the way, in the Democrat Senate, the U.S. Senate, the Democrat senator from Nevada is trailing the Republican Adam Laxalt. The Democrat senator from New Hampshire is running behind Governor Sununu, who is going to run against her. Senator Warnock, the Democrat from Georgia, has an opponent that just barely announced, Herschel Walker, the famous football player from Georgia. And Warnock is only 2 points ahead of Herschel Walker, who is barely announced. But in Virginia, it's even more telling. That governor's race was long considered to be a runaway for Terry McAuliffe, and now the race is too close to call. One poll has the Republican up, one has the Democrat up, but more telling down ballot, you've got the lieutenant governor, Republican candidate, running 6 points ahead of the Democrat, but then on down in the attorney general race, again, the Democrat is at 42, the Republican at 46. So you're seeing Virginia with some shockwaves in it. Remember the shockwaves that went on when that Republican was elected mayor of McAllen, Texas. We're seeing the same sort of playing field develop across the country. And so Republicans just need to stay focused and purposeful, and we'll do fine in the coming race in 2022.
something about Donald Trump that I noticed, whether you like him or not, he showed us how good the economy could be, how good the southern border could be. And now we're seeing the extreme opposite. And I don't mean to sound like I'm gloating. I own a business. I would love to see a booming economy. So I was hoping President Biden would continue that. But that has not been the case.
It has not been the case. And the chaos continues to reign at the southern border. Even former President Obama has said it is chaos there at the border. But, you know, turning to the Green Energy New Deal, and this New Mexico's governor passed that and is all proud of what she's going to do to the state in 4 or 5 years by shutting down oil and gas. There's a very interesting article on this whole subject that came out in the Wall Street Journal by one of the editorial board members, Alicia Finley, came out this last week, and it's talking about the climate policy meets the cold reality in Europe. So when this article came out, the European leaders were attending that UN meeting in New York, and they're all patting themselves on the back on how much that they have curbed the CO2 emissions and either ignoring or trying to cover up what's going on back home. Europe is grappling with a severe energy shortage, not a little energy shortage, but a severe one. They've shut down hundreds of coal-fired power plants. Britain only has 2 coal-fired power plants left. The European countries have spent trillions on subsidizing the green energy. And so they've spent all of this money. They've shut down the other sources. They've got all this new energy they're proclaiming to be the savior of their country and of Europe. Meanwhile, they're finding that just the same thing that Texas found this last winter. Remember when Texas was shut down for 5 days? They have massive solar fields. I was just flying over West Texas yesterday, and there were thousands of acres of solar panels. There are thousands of wind generators. Texas has spent very heavily in the green energy. They have shut down the other forms of energy. And when the sun quit shining and when they couldn't turn those windmills, they were without power for 5 days. Tremendous harm that was done there. They're seeing the same thing in Europe, that the wind and solar are tremendously unreliable. So now they're having to turn back to coal and natural gas. As a result, because of this increased demand, coal has tripled in price and natural gas has gone up fivefold all in the last year. The cap and trade scheme that the Europeans have put into place is pushing prices even higher. And so you have just this calamity taking place. Meanwhile, the leaders are patting themselves on the back. The green chickens are coming home to roost is one of my favorite quotes out of Ms. Finley's article. The green chickens are coming home to roost. The United Kingdom has shut down their steel production because the energy prices are too high. When you shut down entire industries, these are the backbone of the working class people. You don't have retail without manufacturing. So when you shut down your manufacturing, you're going to downstream shut down your shops that sell food, clothes, and just other goods to people. And so look for a tremendous collapse in the European economies. The fertilizer plants, that's a source of food for us. They create the fertilizer that make food grow. They're going to shut down 40% of their capacity. As we have shut down the production of CO2, that's what the leaders are proclaiming, that they are stopping the CO2. Well, many industries use that CO2 in a productive fashion. Think about beer. Think about the soft drink industry. And so now those manufacturers are warning of shortages on the shelf. My wife is alarmed when she goes to the supermarket and sees just how few things are there. Everyone is worried about the supply chain, and we're seeing that exact thing play out right now in China. They are now rationing power in China so that Apple and Tesla are finding shortages of their supply chain materials because the manufacturers providing key elements to them are shutting down because of the price of energy. 16 of the 31 provinces in China have put rationing into effect. The coal and natural gas usage there is surging. That, again, is driving that worldwide price of both of those products up. So people are going to find that their electricity is much higher. They're going to find they have rolling blackouts. They're going to find that their jobs are more scarce. In many places in Europe, they're talking about a 3-day work week, not because they don't need the materials, but because they haven't got the energy to run it. At some point, you have to realize that your policies have been sheerly a boondoggle. So we'll watch it play out. But for right now, as Ms. Finley says, those green energy chickens are coming home to roost.
I don't have a car that runs on anything but gasoline. So as everybody moves to some other form, probably electric cars, and you can't afford a new one, mostly the poorer people, the price of gasoline will skyrocket because people would be buying less of it.
Yeah, I always admire people who brag about going to those electric cars. I compliment them on having that coal-fired car because 50% of the power in the nation comes from coal. And so they're also proud of using electricity, not realizing that coal is the main generator. As they shut down coal, then that electricity is going to become less reliable and also much more expensive. And so, again, we have a lot of pain ahead of us because of the lies that we have believed and our policymakers have believed regarding the green energy. It's unreliable. It's expensive. It has to be subsidized by the taxpayer to even come close to being competitive. Meanwhile, the reliable sources of nuclear, oil, and gas are going to be shut down. The reliable supply of coal is going to be shut down. And I'm not saying that we should contaminate the environment by running those other kinds of energy. We've made dramatic progress in keeping clean coal clean. Natural gas is extraordinarily clean. Oil is becoming cleaner every day, and so we are making good progress. But when you don't have the jobs, when you don't have the energy, when you don't have the manufacturing, you're not going to have schools, you're not going to have anything else. Again, we've got a lot of pain down the road because of the policies being implemented around the world, and we're seeing that playing out right now in China and Europe.
Thank you, Steve. And if you've been listening to us and we have inspired you to get more information about the Republican Party of New Mexico, there are several ways to do that. You can check out the website at newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at newmexicogop. If you would like to talk to someone in person, call party headquarters at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.